Let's get to Nancy Tengler, our guest for the half hour. Nancy is the CEO and CIO at Laffer Tengler Investments. She joins from Lake Tahoe, California. Maybe you'll get some snow here over the holiday weekend. We'll have to wait and see about that, Nancy. Thanks for being with us. I'm curious to whether you think that we've seen the high in yield terms for the foreseeable future. We're starting to drift lower right across the curve as the Fed begins to moderate, or at least suggest that it's going to moderate the pace of interest rate increases.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Doug. We did see the yield curve steepen on an inversion basis this last week, pretty materially. So the 2-year went up and the 10-year went down, or the 2-year stayed fairly constant and the 10-year went down, the yield. And I think that is telling us that you know, the bond market has been ahead of the Fed the whole time. And so they began tightening and raising yields before the Fed actually even lifted the Fed funds rate. And now we're seeing it on the way down. So I think, you know, the soft, dovish rhetoric we started to hear before the last meeting, and then we've continued to hear from a number of the Fed governors, is important, and the market has been paying attention, as has the stock market.
So, Nancy, I mean, this is it. Okay, you're looking at the bond market. You, of course, at some stages, it even now it looks like it's a buying opportunity in various parts of the curve, especially if you're after income as well. Now, if you're after income, though, do you also, of course, look in the equity market? And I know that you have been looking for some of these growth versus value plays, some of the more value plays here as well. Give us your take.
Okay, great question, Rashad. So in August of 2020, when the 10-year yield hit 50 basis points, we moved our clients out of bonds and put them in commodities. We have a dynamic inflation strategy. We moved some of them into that, and then also convertible securities. About 3 or 4 months ago, we were back in buying and building short duration ladders of corporates, treasuries, and munis for clients. We also run dividend growth strategies, which we have done since the mid-1980s. And so we have been able to generate really strong dividend growth. It's usually around 9 to 10%. But this year, trailing 1 year, we're up about 20% in dividend growth due to a number of the companies paying special dividends. And so this is a great way to get paid while you wait for stocks to return to bull market status, and also as a hedge against inflation. So names that we like right now, it's really a theme. Old economy companies that are embracing digitization, and then the suppliers of the technology that supports digitization. Almost every name I have for you today, it pays a dividend except for one.
Let's get your take, Nancy, on what your 5 stocks that you need to own in a slowing growth environment. And of course, if we don't get a majorly slowing environment, does this all change?
It might modify a little bit, Rashad. Our theme is investing in old economy companies that are embracing digitization. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the companies that are supplying the technology. So the 3 old economy companies are Goldman Sachs. It's a company that's paying you a 2.6% yield. They've grown at 25% a year over the last 5 years, trading at 1.2 times book, which is well below where JP Morgan is trading. And they've reorganized, created a division called Platform Services, consolidating fintech across all their business lines. We think this company, you're going to be pretty happy you owned 2 to 3 years from now, regardless of economic slowdown or growth. And then Honeywell is kind of a hybrid. It's a beneficiary of digitization, but also considers itself an industrial technology company because they provide a lot of digital solutions. They just beat and raised in this last earnings call. They have free cash flow of $6 billion a year, a 2% yield, and $900 million on the balance sheet. They are planning to do acquisitions in 2023, which goes to our Goldman Sachs story. And then the final one is Public Storage, which has a 2.7% yield, just paid a $13 special dividend. So the annualized dividend growth is 21.5%. And they have been able to keep clients for a lot longer and open up more than 50% of new clients don't ever talk to a human being. They sign up, they pay, and they access their storage locker without, or storage unit without ever speaking to anyone. two suppliers are Palo Alto Networks, where cloud meets cyber. Mm-hmm. The company just beat and raised, and they are increasing the stickiness of their clients with greater than $1 million deals, up 65%. And then, you know, the old tried and true Microsoft that is trading at a reasonable multiple and is still growing cloud despite the naysayers, is still growing at about 32% annually.
So I'm going to throw you another tech story here. I don't know if you saw the Deere & Company earnings today, but much better than expected. EPS adjusted at $7.44. The street was looking for $7.09. Very interesting that Deere is forecasting record profit for next year. And the other thing that Deere said today, which I thought was very interesting, that the U.S. in terms of corn and soybean production could be fully autonomous by 2030. How do you play that?
Yeah, so you're making my point, Doug. I think, you know, the people that say the tech trade and automation and AI is over, we all better hope not, because we have a labor force participation problem that doesn't look like it's going to improve anytime soon. So I think, you know, as an employer myself, we try to find solutions that can automate or digitize many aspects of our business. And that's really what they are doing. What you heard from the farmers is that they're having a hard time hiring good help. And so the automation on many of these machines is really going to help productivity. And I think that's really what you want to be looking for as we move into this next phase of this secular narrative, in my view. We're a long way away from fully employing the benefits of technology. And with productivity numbers so poor right now and a really tight labor market, this is where employers and chief information officers are going to be looking in corporate America. And now we see also in the agrarian part of the economy.
Actually, it's interesting. Isn't it? I mean, a company like Microsoft, you know, is it a tech company? Is it a value company? Is it a growth company? I mean, it fits all those boxes, does it not?
It does, Rashad. We look at relative dividend yield. So what is the stock yielding relative to its past and relative to the S&P? In that regard, it is not terribly cheap as it was when we first purchased it. But then we also look at relative price to sales ratio, because sales are, in our view, the second most reliable financial metric behind the dividend.
Nancy, thank you so much for joining us. That's Nancy Tengler, the CEO and CIO at Laffer Tengler Investments.